Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage, a program which will be marking its 10th anniversary on WERU in January of 2010. As a lead-up to that anniversary, we've been replaying some programs from the first 10 years to see how technology and its impact on our lives have changed, and, when it comes to some key issues, how much they've stayed the same. On this Thanksgiving Day, we turn our attention to what we have to be thankful for in our personal and in our family lives. And certainly electronic technology has created many things that make our lives easier, more comfortable, and that allow us to do things that our grandparents could not even imagine. Some of those things are great. Some are not so great. And today, we recall in this episode from back in February of 2001, even before September 11th, 2001, that technology, while it offers us some great new capabilities in our lives, also creates capabilities which aren't so great, particularly if we happen to appreciate and believe in the U.S. Bill of Rights. Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. I was standing in line at my bank the other day, waiting to cash a check. The fellow in front of me walked up to the teller with a check drawn on KeyBank, the bank we were in. Maybe it was a paycheck, maybe it was a check given to him by someone who had an account here. However, the fellow did not have an account with KeyBank. The teller greeted him by name. Apparently he came to the bank often. Then something happened that really surprised me. The teller took out an ink pad and asked the man for his thumbprint on the back of the check. He complied without a word, got his cash, and headed out. When I got up to the teller window, I asked what this was all about, and the teller told me that the bank now requires a thumbprint on a check if the person cashing the check doesn't have an account with the bank. Well, I looked into that, and sure enough, KeyBank is taking fingerprints. The explanation, of course, is that it's for security reasons. After all, you usually have to show a picture ID to cash a check. According to the bank, this is simply the same idea with a higher level of certainty about who you are. Out west, there are now ATM machines that require you to look into a lens that will scan your eye instead of punching in your PIN number. It turns out that no two eyes, like no two fingerprints, are exactly the same. So banks figure that an eye scan would be better than a PIN number for making sure that you are you. A number of companies are now using eye or handprint scans instead of employee ID cards or code numbers to allow employees to enter company buildings. Security again. This trend toward using body part characteristics as a security device is known as biometrics. The biggest example of this happened at the Super Bowl, when video cameras hooked up to sophisticated computer software scanned everyone's face who was going through the turnstiles on their way into the stadium and compared the fans' faces with a database of known bad guys and bad girls. The software uses 128 points on a face to make the comparisons, and of course, it's all done in the name of security. Biometrics companies and the public or private security firms using the devices claim that they're necessary for the common security of us all, and are not invasive. After all, you have no claim of privacy if you're in a public place like the Super Bowl, and employers and banks aren't forcing you to submit to thumbprints or eye print scans. You can always work someplace else, and you can always put your money in a sock under your pillow if you don't like it. Or can you? Suppose that every employer eventually requires an eye scan if you want to work there. Or suppose that every bank requires a fingerprint if you want to cash a check, even if eventually you do have an account there. As banks merge and become regional and national in scope, they have little personal connection with the people they serve, and efficiency and certainty become paramount. So, what are your choices then? It's a question worth thinking about, because there is very little problem with electronically combining the physical data that the bank has with the data that the employer has, with the data that your HMO has. All that data could create a pretty complete picture of who you are, in more ways than one. Burlington Northern, a large railroad, for example, was requiring its employees who filed for workers' compensation to give a blood sample, even if their claim was that they pulled a muscle. Unbeknownst to the workers, the company was then subjecting those blood samples to genetic DNA screening to determine if there was a likelihood that the employee would develop an expensive disease down the road. Someone found out and sued. And even the U.S. Department of Justice was incensed. Burlington Northern backed off quickly, but the example is a chilling one. In a slightly different set of circumstances, police are now using thermal imaging devices to point at houses from public roads or even from helicopters. No search warrant needed. If they see more heat escaping from your windows or cracks in the house than there should be, they suppose you may be growing drugs within, and they get a warrant to search your house. Although police deny that these devices can actually see through walls or windows and tell, for example, what people are doing inside the house, the companies that make the devices claim that they are sensitive enough to do that. After all, our bodies give off heat, too. The question of whether a search warrant should be required to use these devices, even from the outside of the home, is in court right now. So, in this age of powerful biometrics and other high-tech surveillance devices, just what does our Fourth Amendment to the Constitution mean? You remember the words, quote, "The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized." End quote. Ringing words, aren't they? Against unreasonable searches and seizures. Of course, our founders could not have imagined a world in which all of our important papers and possessions are not locked up safely in trunks in our houses, or one in which thermal imaging devices could see through walls, or one in which most of our communication takes place over phone lines or through wireless devices, or one in which computers can scan 70,000 faces within seconds at the Super Bowl. But it might be worth asking, what would the founders say about this trend toward biometrics identification and personal characteristics databases? It's a question, of course, that we can't ask the founders any longer. But we can ask our employers, our bankers, our police, our elected representatives, and most importantly, ourselves. And, of course, we ask you to tune in again for thoughts about technology that affects us all, in ways both good and bad, on another edition of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.